Good morning. It's good to be here. I imagine a lot of us in this room today have this in common, that we've all at some point in our lives failed at something. And failure comes hand in hand with something else called giving up. And I imagine a lot of us at some point in our lives have experienced what it's like to give up at something. And we think of verses like, if God is for us, who can be against us? And we know that they're true, but yet at the same time, giving up and failing are always part of the human experience. They're always part of our life. And fortunately for us, and as we were just singing, the God that we worship has never failed, and the God that we serve has never and will never give up on us. And we're going to look at the question this morning, or the questions this morning. What should we do when we fail? And what should we do when we want to give up? And giving up and failing, they're similar ideas and they're different ideas at the same time. Because you can go through life and you can fail and fail and fail and you can never give up. Or you can go through life having never failed because you've always given up before you've even tried. And we're going to look at the question this morning, what are we supposed to do when we fail? And we're going to look at what are we supposed to do when we want to give up? And what are we supposed to do when we want to give up on God? Because those can be dark places to be in, and they can be hopeless places to be in. But fortunately for us, there is hope to be found in those situations, and there's light to be found in that darkness. And we're going to look at the story of Simon Peter. And Simon Peter was someone who was all too familiar with what it meant to live a life that had failure in. And he was also familiar with what it felt like to give up. And not just give up on anyone, to give up on God. And in that story, we're going to see the lesson of what we should do when we want to give up, what we should do when we feel like when we failed. And we'll see how God meets with us in that situation. Simon Peter, he had two names. He was originally called Simon, but then Jesus renamed him to Peter. But when you read his story in the Gospels, he's often referred to as both Simon Peter. He was one of the disciples, and his story begins in Luke 5. And in this story, we meet him in a boat, and Jesus is standing by the shore. And Jesus has just spent some time talking, and he sees Simon Peter in the boat, and he calls out to him. And he says to him, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." So it's morning time. He's been fishing all night and he hasn't caught a single thing. And here's Jesus telling him, give it one more go, get into your boat, push out into the water and let down your net. And he responded, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." Because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because you say so, I will. That should always be our response when Jesus commands us or Jesus asks us to do something. Because you say so, I will. That's essentially saying, I don't know, Jesus, what you're doing. I can't see what you're up to. I can't see what you're doing behind the scenes. But I'm going to put my faith in you. And because you say so, I will. What happens next? It says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Every miracle we see always is preceded by obedience. And Simon Peter's obedience to Jesus, his response, because you say so, I will, meant that that morning they had a miracle. And there were so many fish, it says that the nets began to break. So these nets were tearing almost. They were under so much strain. That's such a contrast to what happened a few minutes ago, because they'd been searching the whole night. They'd been searching all over the Sea of Galilee for fish. Hadn't caught a thing. And now there's an abundance of fish, so much so that the nets are now under strain. So they signal to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Are you picturing this? There's a boat here. There's a boat here. You've got Simon Peter and some other disciples in the boats. There's a multitude of fish in their nets. They're putting the fish in the boats. And it says that there were so many that they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. They're sinking. They're going down. Jesus has done immeasurably more than they were expecting. In Ephesians, it says that God does immeasurably more than we can ask and imagine. And literally there and then, they had no idea how many fish were in their boats. All they knew was there were so many that their boats were now sinking. Jesus had done, and Jesus had used, Simon Peter's obedience to do a miracle. And now there was immeasurably more fish than they were expecting. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me." It's kind of rude, right? "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Simon Peter just realizes in this moment that he has just seen a miracle. It could have been a coincidence, right? Maybe if they had caught a few fish during the night, maybe you could put it down to a coincidence, but they hadn't caught anything the entire night. And maybe if when they put out the nets in obedience, there was just a few fish, maybe it was a coincidence. But now there's so many fish that both boats are full up and both boats are sinking. He realizes this is not normal. They've just seen a miracle, and there is something up with this teacher, this rabbi from Nazareth who's standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. There is something up with this guy. And in realizing that this person who's just done this miracle is holy, Simon Peter's response is to fall to his knees and call him Lord. But in recognizing that Jesus is holy, he also recognizes that he is a sinner and tells Jesus to go away because he knows that he shouldn't be in the presence of something and someone so holy. So he says to him, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." He and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Jesus originally turned up in the story and gave them fish. But now in the story, he's given Simon Peter and the disciples a vision of what he wants their life to look like. And he's called them away from the Sea of Galilee. He's calling them away from their life of being fishermen and saying, "I want you to now fish, but not fish for fish. I want you to go out and fish for people." And he's given them a vision, a big picture idea of what he wants their lives to look like. And it's no longer fishing on the Sea of Galilee. It's now leaving that behind, putting that behind them, and going out into the nations to fish for people. So Simon Peter leaves his boat behind, leaves his nets behind, leaves all those fish behind, and spent the next 3.5 years following Jesus, being by his side all the time. He was there for the feeding of the 5,000, so he was used to seeing an immeasurable number of fish. He was there for the walking out of the water on the water. He saw Jesus walk on the water, and he joined him as well. He was there for all of the miracles. He was there for the teaching. One day, Jesus pulled him to one side and said, "I know your name's Simon, but I'm going to start calling you Peter. And Peter means rock, and you're going to be the rock that I build my church upon." He was there for the miracles, the parables, the healings, the teachings. He was there for everything. And then one day, the crucifixion came. In John 18, we read that Jesus predicted that Simon Peter would deny him, would deny knowing him. He said, "You're going to be asked 3 times, 'Do you know me?' Each time you're going to say no, and then as a sign, a rooster is going to crow. Simon Peter wasn't having any of it. He didn't believe him. And that night, Jesus was arrested. The disciples ran away. Simon Peter followed Jesus. And as prophesied, he was asked three times that night, "Aren't you one of his disciples? Aren't you one of Jesus' disciples?" And each time he said, "No, no, no." And then as prophesied that night, the rooster crowed. And then he realized what he had done, and he began to weep bitterly. That's John 18. And in John 19, you have the crucifixion. Jesus nailed to a cross, sin dealt with, sin has now been defeated. And then in John 20, we have the resurrection, which is what we were celebrating last week. The tomb is empty. Not only is death defeated, not only is sin defeated, but now death has been defeated as well. There's rejoicing, there's happiness. And then towards the end of John 20, we then see that Jesus sends out his disciples. They've now been given the mission. It's the perfect end to a perfect story. We've had the crucifixion, we've had the resurrection, we've had the sending out of the disciples. It's the perfect end to a perfect story. But there's another chapter. We have John 21. And like every good film, if there's any like Avengers fans or Marvel fans, you know that at the end of a film, you have to hang around for what happens afterwards. And right now, the credits should be rolling. The music should be playing. But there's another chapter. The story hasn't yet finished. And we have John 21. And when we get to John 21, we see Simon Peter again. But this time, he is in a world of hurt. Right now, he has gone from being the rock to hitting rock bottom. And fortunately, rock bottom is a good place to build up from. A rock is a firm foundation to build up from. And he has gone from being called the rock by Jesus to being at rock bottom. And he's in a world of hurt. And in John 21, we read, and it says, "Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together." Now, this is the biblical equivalent of being cropped out of a photo. Have you ever seen those? Have you ever seen a photo where you knew you were in the photo at one point because your hand is on someone's shoulder, but you aren't in the photo anymore because you've been cropped out of that photo? This is the biblical equivalent of being cropped out of a photo, because we read that there's Simon Peter, so he has both his names. Then we have Thomas, also known as Didymus. So Thomas gets his full name or his first name, and then also he has his also known as AKA name Didymus. Then we have Nathanael from Cana in Galilee. So he gets his hometown and his home county, just in case you were gonna get Cana confused with all those other Canas. Then we have the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples. We've got no idea who these guys are. Maybe they weren't important. They've been cropped out of the story. But Simon Peter turns to his friends and says, "I am going out to fish." Now, this should hit us hard because he has been called away from the Sea of Galilee. He has been called away from being a fisherman. He has been called away from that life. He's already left the boats behind him. He's already left the fish behind him. He's already left the nets behind him. But now he is saying to his friends, "I'm going out to fish." He has given up. He has given up, and he's going back to what he knows. This was his life before Jesus, and now he's thinking, perhaps this is what my life is going to be after Jesus. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So the other guys are joining in with him. We've had the crucifixion, we've had the resurrection, sin has been dealt with, death has been dealt with, history has been changed. But for these guys, nothing has changed. They're going back to what they had been called from. They're going back from what they had left behind. They're going back out onto the Sea of Galilee. They're grabbing their boats, they're grabbing their nets, and they're going out to fish. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Sounds familiar? Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but disciples did not realize it was Jesus. Every single story gets more interesting as soon as Jesus turns up. And this story is about to get a lot more interesting. It is sunrise. They have been fishing all night. They haven't caught a single thing. It's now early morning, and Jesus has shown up on the beach. And it says that early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples did not realize that it was Jesus, and he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" It's almost like he's mocking them. It's almost like he's playing a game with them. "Haven't you caught any fish?" What he's saying to them is, "I see that you have gone back to what I called you from. How is that working out for you? How are you doing? Haven't you got any fish? What's happened here?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." Now, I don't think these guys hadn't tried that already. They had probably fished all around the Sea of Galilee. They had probably tried every single side of their boat already. "But because you say so, I will." And out of obedience, they try one more time. "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. We've been here before, right? In the first miracle, it says that there were so many fish that when they put all the fish in the boats, the two boats, the boats began to sink. Now, Jesus is doing immeasurably more than he did the last immeasurable time, because it's saying now there are so many fish, they couldn't even get them in the boats. He has done immeasurably more than they could have imagined. I'm not sure what happened to those fish, by the way. Maybe they were just left behind, but they couldn't get them into the boat. And it says that they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then a disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." The disciple who Jesus loved was John, the Apostle John. And he's the guy who's writing these words. And I think that shows that sometimes when you are going through a hard time, when you have known what it's like to fail, when you're known and about to give up, it's hard to recognize God's voice. It's hard to recognize what he's doing. And you need someone by your side who loves Jesus to help you hear what it is he has to say to you. And in this moment, Simon Peter has a good friend called John, and John is the disciple that Jesus loves, and he helped Simon Peter hear God's voice. And he said to him, "Peter, it is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. I love swimming. I go swimming a lot. Often I go before church. When you go swimming, you don't do this. The idea of swimming is you take items of clothing off, and then you get into the water. I don't think anyone has told Simon Peter how this works, because it says that he put his garments on and then jumped into the water. That makes no sense to me. He's going to be even wetter and more drenched than he should have been. But anyway, he recognizes that Jesus is on the shore. He puts on more items of clothing, jumps into the water, and swims to shore. Now, in the first miracle, his response to seeing Jesus and seeing the miracle was to tell him, "I'm a sinful man. Go away. I should not be in your presence. I should not be anywhere near you." But he is now matured in this story, and he now recognizes that when you are sinful, you don't try and get further away from Jesus. When you recognize the sin in your heart, your response should be to run towards him, or in his case, swim towards him, and get as close to him as possible. So he's swimming to shore. The other disciples followed in a boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. So quick update on the fish. It now seems that they're now pulling the fish along with them to the shore. This is one of the last miracles. This is one of the last times that the disciples saw Jesus in the flesh before he ascended to heaven. This is one of the last times that they saw him do a miracle in the flesh before he returned to his heavenly Father. And this is one of the last times we're going to get to the lesson he's about to teach them. But this is one of his last opportunities that he has before he ascends to teach his disciples and get them to continue with the mission, to call them away one last time from what they were supposed to have left behind, and to refocus them and get them back on track. And the question I said at the beginning that we were going to look at is, what are we supposed to do when we fail, and what are we supposed to do when we give up? And we're about to get the answer to that question. In the next verse, it says that when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it. So they have just had a whole night of fishing. They haven't caught anything. Now a miracle has happened. It's early morning. They're probably hungry. There's a beach barbecue that Jesus has set up. They're about to eat. And it says that when they landed on the shore, a fire of burning coals was there with fish on it. What does that mean for what should we do when we fail, and what should we do when we want to give up? There's an amazing detail in that verse, because what did Simon Peter spend his entire night looking for? It was fish. What couldn't he find? It was fish. But what did Jesus already have on the barbecue? He was cooking fish. He didn't have a boat with him. Jesus didn't have a net with him. He hadn't spent all night on the Sea of Galilee trying to find fish. Jesus doesn't need a boat to get fish. Jesus doesn't need a net to go and get fish. Jesus doesn't need to spend a whole night fishing if he wants fish. He turned a kid's lunchbox into enough fish for 5,000 people. He turned water into wine. He made a universe from nothing. If Jesus wants fish, he's going to get fish. And when Simon Peter came to the shore that morning, he would have seen the fire, he would have heard the fire, he would have smelt the fish, and he would have been like, Jesus, where have you got this from? At that moment, the fish is still being towed in. The fish from that miracle that's just happened is still being towed in. Jesus has fish. And what he's saying to Simon Peter is, I've got what you're looking for. I've got it right here, what you were spending your entire night looking for. You didn't need to go out on the Sea of Galilee. You didn't need to go out elsewhere. I already have what you're looking for. I already have what you have spent your entire night looking for. I am the only source. You should have come to me. I already have what you're looking for. And what that means for us is Jesus has what we need. Yes, Simon Peter was looking for fish, but what he was really looking for that night was forgiveness. Jesus had that. Mercy, Jesus had that. Grace, Jesus had that ready for him. He's not going to withhold anything from us. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of Peter, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. When Jesus pulled Simon Peter to that side one point and said, you're going to be the rock, and on this rock I'm going to build my church, that was still the mission that hadn't changed. And when Jesus called him away from the fish and said, you're going to now fish for people, that was still the mission and that hadn't changed. And what he was just saying to him in this last passage was, I'm going to be the shepherd, but you are going to feed my sheep. And what Jesus was doing in this instance, he was refocusing Simon Peter, and he was saying, I've got a vision, a big picture image of what your life is going to look like. You need to come back to that. You need to refocus in on what I have set for you to do. And when we feel like failing and when we feel like giving up, what we need to remind ourselves is that God has a plan and a mission for us. And there's things that he's put in your heart. There's things that you are good at. There's things that he has given for you to do. There's people in your life that God has put there for you to be a blessing to be an encouragement to. He has a plan for you. He has a mission and a focus. And when we find ourselves in a situation where we want to give up, where we've seen failure, he wants us to come back to the big picture and focus in on what he has set for us to do. What about the consequences and the repercussions? I mean, this guy, Simon Peter, denied Jesus after all. Surely there had to be repercussions to denying Jesus. Surely there had to be consequences. Surely someone had to be punished. And someone was punished, and there were consequences, and there were repercussions, and those were put on Christ alongside the rest of humanity's sin and was dealt with on the cross. So that morning there could be grace. That morning there could be forgiveness. That morning there could be a fresh start. There could be a new beginning. Jesus used someone who had denied him three times to build his church. He hadn't given up on him. His story hadn't finished. There was still more to happen. There was still more for Jesus to do. So don't rule out God doing something in your life. Don't rule out God using you just because something has happened in your past, just because you may have wanted to give up, just because you may have seen failure. Don't rule out God using you because he hasn't ruled out you being used by him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when we fail and when we give up, may we run towards you. May we always come towards you. May we always come to you and see you, Jesus, and see you alone as the source of everything that we need. Amen.